Blog Talk Radio.
I'm born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to reign in life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say, I'm saved.
Born to reign,
say.
Born to reign in life.
I am no ordinary person.
I'm no ordinary person.
Whoa,
I'm dancing for
sing it like
greatness.
You believe it.
Born to reign.
Born to reign
in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm dancing for greatness.
Circumstances may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me. But when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters stand to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, 'cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary person. No, no. Sing it like you mean to say. Ooh, na na na, whoa, yo.
I'm
no ordinary, ordinary, no, 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 no.
I'm destined for greatness.
Oh, yes, yes, I am.
You are born to win, born to reign in life. You're no ordinary person. You are destined by God for greatness. Father God, we come to you this morning, our loving Father, to say thank you so much. You know, here we are, the 11th month of the year, and you've just, you know, you've brought us through the year. You've given us so much light, so much understanding of your word. Indeed, the spirit of wisdom and revelation has been with us. And so we want to say thank you. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. We thank you, God, for the precious Holy Spirit, the Comforter that you sent to teach us. You know, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. You've been with us all through the year. You know, you've been with us just teaching us and giving us understanding. And we say thank you, Lord. Father God, we want to thank you for sending Jesus to die for us, so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you, God, that you've transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son, who purchased our freedom with his blood and forgave our sins. We say thank you. And Jesus, we thank you for coming that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We're not victims to situations and circumstances. We're not victims to, you know, the things that are happening on the earth. No, we live in the promised land because of your grace, because of your power, because of your death and resurrection. We have power dwelling in us. And so we say thank you, Father God. Thank you. Thank you for sending light. Thank you for sending understanding. And to you, Lord, to you alone be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And the church said, amen. Open your mouths now and begin to give God thanks. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him for your life. Every good thing in your life has come from Almighty God. Open your mouth and begin to give him thanks. Take your eyes off the challenges. Take your eyes off the problems. Focus on God. Give him thanks and praise this morning. Mashana kosakai. Thank him in the spirit and thank him with your understanding. Shana makosai kashaka sakai. Ishantana kukui. Thank him for your children. Thank him for your health. Thank him for your skills, your talents, your careers, your jobs. Thank him. Thank him for your family. Thank him for the great plans he has for you. Thank him for his word. Oh, his word. He sent his word and healed them, the Bible says, and delivered them from their destruction. Every time we come together with the word, you know, whether as an individual or collectively, you know, in a group, there's a blessing. You're blessed. There's healing in the word. There's resurrection in the word. There's power in the word. There's wisdom in the word. Everything you and I need to be victorious in this life is in the word. Come on, thank him for the word. In Jesus' name, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Father, we return as one man and one voice to say thank you. Every good thing in our life has come from you. And we thank you, God, even for the challenges, because we are victorious over them. We thank you, O God, that every challenge makes us stronger. Every trial is making us stronger. And so we thank you, God. We thank you that you are hardening and strengthening us to difficulties. And to you alone be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I love that Isaiah 41:10, the Amplified Version says, "Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed." Isn't that the truth? Because, you know, when you're passing through a challenge or, you know, a trial or anything going on that's not pleasant, there's a tendency to look around, right? You know, a tendency to keep looking at it, a tendency to keep talking about it because it draws your attention. But he says, do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. Because, you see, that's what happens. The more you look at it, the more depressed you become, right? Even the more hopeless it seems and the more hopeless you feel. It kind of paralyzes you. But he says, do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. My mom used to always say to me, keep looking up. And that's really Psalm 121. Now I know, right? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He will not slumber. So he's on your case at all times. So the whole thing is to keep looking at him, because what the situation does, what the oppositions do, what the adversary, you know, the adverse conditions are looking to do is to keep your eyes on them. And have you noticed, like, have you lived long enough to realize that there's always something going on? If it's not in your life, it's in the life of somebody you care about, perhaps. So there's this thing about this earthly life that it's always, you know, like, for example, people want to get married. They want to get married. So they pray or whatever they do, and they get married. Now there's trouble in the marriage. Right? Now there's trouble in the marriage. Well, they want to have kids. If I could just have kids. Then they get the kids. Oh, the child's sick. Oh, you know, or the child grows up and now they're praying for the child, or the child is causing some challenges for them. You get what I'm saying? You want a job, you want a new job, you got a great job, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I got a great job. Now there's challenges on the job, the boss doesn't like you, or the coworkers. Do you see what I'm saying? And so if you get yourself caught up in things, that's why he said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added onto you. Because if you get the things in front of God, then you'll always be worrying about the things. There's always going to be something going on, something happening. And so you and I have to make up our minds that only God is happening. That you're putting your eyes on God first. That you're praising God first. That's what you're doing no matter what's going on. You're always in praise. You're always in thanksgiving. You're always in your word. You always have an uplifting word for someone. You always have a kind word. It's a work, you see. This is a work. It's not something that just happens. This is a work. You have to work at this. And as you work at being in praise all the time, as you work at being in thanksgiving all the time, that's when you start to realize, I'm living in the promised land, because we're in the promised land. You know, it used to be they thought the promised land was going to heaven. That's not the promised land. When you came into, when you accepted Jesus Christ and you crossed over, you crossed into the promised land. But you have to take it by faith. And so the things that are happening on the earth, the things that are happening in the sense realm, this natural realm that we're living in, because we're human, we contact this earth with our physical senses, right? Everything that's happening there is to keep your attention away from the promised land. And so if you let the things that are happening take all your attention, that's why he said, don't look around you, you know, in terror and be dismayed. If you let the things that are going on, whether in your life or in the life of your loved ones, if you let that become your primary attention, you will not be living in the promised land. And your faith won't work. Because it's by faith, right, that your healing comes. It's by faith that your prosperity comes. It's by faith that your breakthroughs come. But you can't be, you got to make up your mind where you're living. And so many Christians are living primarily in the sense realm life. The world, they act like the world, they, you know, they, but on Sunday, no. But, you know, the rest of the time, am I right about it? So you and I have to make up our minds, you know, to live in the promised land, to live in the faith realm, to live in the word, to declare. Because you see, the Bible, that's why the Bible says he sent his word, Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You see, he created all things by his word, and all things are being upheld by his word. You see, that's why the Bible says he magnifies his word above his name. And so you've got to have his word. And so as you speak his word to your life, to your situations, that's what brings about the turnaround. But it's a work. It's a constant work, and it's a good work. It's a good work. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulty. You see? So no matter the challenge you're passing through, he's strengthening you and hardening you to difficulty. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Isn't that awesome? Let's say praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise God for that. Lord, we thank you for your word. So what I'd like to do, if you have a testimony, hit one on your keypad. You know, you have a testimony you'd like to share with us, hit one on your keypad, and we'll give you an opportunity to share. Tell us briefly what was the situation. What did you do, and what did God do? Because remember, there's always what to do. And so that's why we're going to look today at 7 steps to answered prayer. Okay? I want to take us through that today. The Lord has just, you know, impressed that on me this week to the point where I thought I had never seen it before. You know? And then I realized, no, it's actually the first prayer in my Bible prayer study course. Remember the one that hopefully you've all gotten it. And if you're new to us, you'd want to pick this up. It's called the Bible Prayer Study Course by Kenneth E. Hagin. We're going to look at the 7 steps to answered prayer. I don't know if we're going to get, well, there's 2 parts to it. We probably won't get through both parts today, I'm sure. But I want to give you the 7 steps. And then we're going to talk about it. Because prayer is fundamental, right, to the believer's life. Prayer is fundamental. Praise is also fundamental. We know less about praise, but we've taught you about praise here. But today we're focusing on prayer. So we want to look at these 7 steps, and you want to write them down. You want to keep them someplace that you're going to look at it all the time. You want to get them, you want to even memorize them. Because what tends to happen, you know, as believers, we tend to think we could just pray. And you notice, like, you just pray, right? And most people are hoping something happens. And if nothing happens, you know, you might get resentful, you might backslide a little, or you may just stay in there because that, you know, you don't understand it. Or you may say, well, it's not his will. Remember that? People like to say, oh, it's not his will. But really what it is ignorance. Right? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6. So we need to recognize in this Bible study course, there he gives you, this is by Kenneth E. Hagin, he gives you many different prayers, types of prayers. And so it's important to understand that there are different types of prayers. And certain prayers won't work in certain areas. You notice how we never think about that? We just pray, right? Everybody just prays, never thinking what else needs to be done or what's my responsibility. But, you know, there's actually, quote unquote, a science to prayer, right? Everything has rules. And so God's kingdom is very orderly. The kingdom of God is orderly. We just kind of come in and, you know, kind of we're excited to be, you know, in and saved, and we sing and we dance. But there's very little understanding going on, right? Very little in-depth teaching. And so that's why it's important for you and I to you know, take the time and take responsibility to go deeper and get understanding, because this is how you'll get results, right? And so, you know, there's a scripture where the Apostle Paul says, you know, the kingdom of God is not in word, but power. So it's not just, you know, being excited and being a good Christian and, you know, quote unquote, reading your Bible and going to church. There must be proofs in our lives. Things are supposed to happen. Divine healing is real. Prosperity is real. Breakthroughs are real. Restoration is real. Turnaround is real. These things are real. Right? And so they're supposed to manifest in our lives. And prayer is a fundamental way that we access these gifts, these blessings. So we don't want to just dance and shout and be excited. You want to take yourself seriously. It's really like if you're on a job and, you know, they train you how to do that particular job. You know, and some people do it better than others based on what? Understanding. You go to school. You're taking a class or classes, depending on, you know, what you're doing. And some people are failing. Right? What is it based on? Understanding. Some people fail because, you know, they don't take it seriously. They're not really interested. And so we're not, you know, that happens, okay? But for the most part, the A, the B, the C, the D, and the F is really based on understanding, how much you understood. Am I right about it? And so it's the same thing in life. And so in life, we might be winning in certain areas, right? Certain areas are working. Praise God. But then there might be some other areas, I don't know why this isn't working. Like, and so, you know, with that, there's a story to tell. Was it the wolf or the fox? He couldn't reach the grapes, and so he said, they're sour. They were way high up. So we tend to maybe forget about it or think it's not God's will. And, of course, as the clock is ticking, you're feeling like, oh, well, time has passed. And none of those are true. It's just that we've lacked understanding. And we've not really, you know, taken the time to ask the question, why isn't this working? Why am I not getting results? Why isn't this prayer being answered? Right? So let's take time now to look at the seven steps to add prayer. And as I said, we probably won't get to all of them today. But you should have this book by now, many of you. And if you're new to us, we welcome you and strongly suggest you pick up the Bible Prayer Study Course. And the very first prayer is the Seven Steps to Answered Prayer, Part 1. We're going to look at Part 1 today. And we, you know, strongly advise you to look at it over the weekend so that when we come back next week, you know, you're on point. Let me give you the seven steps, and then we'll talk about them. But let me read. Let's look at the Word first. Let's go to the Word first. Open your Bible to John 15, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's awesome, right? anything. Now, John 14, 13 to 14. These are all from the King James Version. John 14, I'm reading from that translation this morning. John 14, 13 to 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's awesome, right? If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And finally, John 16, 23 to 24. John 16, 23 to 24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And so we've taught on this. We always, when we're making our prayers, we're always praying to the Father, Father God, in the name of Jesus. He's given us that instruction. A lot of times people are just praying to Jesus. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Particularly if you look in the New Testament, you notice every time that they're writing to the churches, you know, the apostles are writing, they always mention first the Father and then Jesus. But what I've observed is a lot of times in Christianity, you know, they just only say Jesus. They only pray to Jesus. They never acknowledge the Father, never following the instructions. And so, you see, we have to really be sensitive to what God's instructions are, right? And that's why we're going to take time. The Holy Spirit is just driving me. I was so excited to bring this today because we want to take time to really look at these steps and really, you know, work them. Step one, decide what you want from God and find the scripture or scriptures that definitely promise you these things. Decide what you want from God, right? And then find the scriptures that definitely promise you these things. That's step one. Number two, I'm going to read directly from the book just now, and, you know, he'll elaborate more on these points. But I just want to make sure that everybody has the steps. Step two, ask God for what you want. Step two, ask God for what you want. Step three, be positive in your thinking. Be positive in your thinking. Step four, guard your mind. Guard your mind. You see step three and four? This is where the battle is lost oftentimes. These two steps right here. Be positive in your thinking, guard your mind. And we'll talk more about that. That's where the prayers are often, the battle is lost. Number five, meditate on God's promises and prepare. Meditate on God's promises and prepare. Because why? You found them already in step one. That was your first step. Step six, continually thank God for the answer. Continually thank God for the answer. Notice it says continually, so you're not ever stopping. You know, you're not praying it again. You've already prayed it. Now you're thanking God for it. Finally, number seven, make every prayer a statement of faith. Make every prayer, we'll talk about that when we get to it. We may get to that next week, but and when you read it over the weekend, you'll see that. But we've already asked. That was step two. And so now, you know, your prayer is really a statement of faith. You're thanking God for it. You're declaring it, right? It's a statement of faith. It's no longer a question because you've already done that up at step two. Now, it's very important that we pay attention to these steps. Write them down. Look at whatever particular challenge you have in your life or whatever prayer you've had. Maybe you've got something that you've pushed to the side or, you know, you're not even thinking about it anymore because, you know, you've been discouraged. Sometimes you don't even realize you're discouraged. You just act like it don't matter. It does matter. Pull it out. And now begin to line it up and line yourself up with these seven steps. Let's go at this now. Step one, be specific and stand on God's promises. Step number one to receiving answered prayer is decide what you want from God and find the scripture or scriptures that definitely promise you these things. So many times we are indefinite in our praying. I would rather folks pray 2 or 3 minutes and know what they're praying about than to pray for 2 or 3 hours
and not know what they're praying about. If you just joined us, I'm reading from the Bible Prayer Study Course by Kenneth E. Hagin, and we're looking at 7 steps to answered prayer. How do we get our prayers answered? This is critical. Sometimes when I ask people what they're praying about, they answer that they don't know. I asked one person once what he was praying about, and he said he was praying just to be prayed. No doubt that was happening. You know how sometimes in church you might have a group prayer or somebody, you know, just asking, like they may say, okay, let's let everybody begin to pray now. You know, in my church we do that. We give a prayer point and let's begin to pray. And so somebody may not know what they're praying about. They say, oh, well, you know, maybe they're visiting or maybe they're not, they don't understand. And so they see people praying and so they just start praying, but they don't really, they're not really specific. They're not really sure and they don't really believe, right? He goes on, I realize there is one kind of prayer whereby we pray to have fellowship with God. But I'm talking about praying to God specifically in order to receive an answer to prayer. If we are not careful, the first kind of praying I talked about, praying to have fellowship with God, will spill over into the realm of praying specifically in order to receive an answer. One time, a certain minister asked me to pray for him. I asked him what he wanted me to pray for, and he said he didn't know. Now, if you went to a grocery store and pushed your cart up and down the aisles but didn't buy anything, people would think something was wrong with you. But on the other hand, if someone went to the store to buy a few things and he bought just those things, you wouldn't think anything was wrong. In fact, you could say he was being definite in what he was doing. In the same way, decide what you want from God and be definite about it. Then find scriptures from the Word that promise you whatever it is you want, specific in your praying. You remember we saw that with blind Bartimaeus? Remember when, you know, he was screaming out to Jesus? And when he got to Jesus, when Jesus said, okay, have him come. And when he went to Jesus, the first thing Jesus said to him was, what do you want? You know, what do you want? And you see that throughout the scriptures. Everybody, they were very specific about what they were praying about, asking the prophet for or whatever. They were very specific. Remember Hannah? Hannah wanted a child, you know. And when Eli saw her praying, you know, her mouth was moving, he thought she was drunk. You see, come to find out, no, I was asking the Lord for my child. I'm barren. I was asking for a child. We must be specific. Be specific. Pray according to the Word. Too few Christians, this is, you know, we're still on step one, and I've given you the steps. We're still on step one. Too few Christians realize the importance of the Word of God in prayer. We know that faith begins where the will of God is known, and then thou shalt have good success. Another translation says that thou mayest be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life. Success in life comes by meditating on God's word. That's the way you'll build God's word into your inner consciousness, into your spirit. And as you feed upon the word by meditating, right, you will be ready to use these scriptures against demons who will try to make you doubt God, you see, and who will try to rob you of what you want. It is the devil who tries to make you doubt God. So many times people who have not known the word have prayed, and if they did not get the answer when they thought they should, they said, well, it must not be the will of God. But all the time, the promises of God were there for them to appropriate. If whatever you're praying about is in the Word, then it is the will of God. One time, a woman had many others pray with her for her son, who was afflicted with a certain sickness. But when he didn't get better, she concluded that it just wasn't God's will for her son to be healed. You see how we get robbed? She didn't have any scriptures ready to use against the devil because she wasn't standing on the word. She didn't have the word hidden in her heart. Psalm 119, verse 11. To tell the truth about it, the devil told her that it wasn't the will of God for her son to be healed, and she believed him. Unconsciously, she made the Bible out to be a lie and Jesus to be unjust, because the Bible clearly tells us healing is part of our redemption. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8, 17, 1 Peter 2, 24. Use the word of the Spirit against the devil. When you get the word firmly fixed in your heart and mind, you can use it against the devil. When Jesus was tempted by the devil to turn the stones into bread, Jesus just answered with the word. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. Then the Bible says Satan took Jesus up upon a pinnacle of the temple and tempted Jesus again. Matthew 4:7-11. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus did not use a single weapon to defeat the devil on this occasion that the saints of God do not have available to them today. When you are being tempted by the enemy, all you have to do is say, "It is written," and use the word of God against Satan. But in order to be able to say that and to resist the devil effectively, you have to be armed with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. In other words, you have to hide God's word in your heart by meditating on it continually in order for it to work for you. Then you will be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. Preaching in Houston once, when a preacher friend of mine came over and asked me to agree with him for healing of his high blood pressure. So we joined hands and agreed. Sometime later, I was in his church and was using the scripture in Matthew 18:19, which says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. This preacher friend of mine testified how he had agreed with me and had gone home feeling terrible because his blood pressure was even higher than usual. Now, he just prayed, "Oh, Lord, you know, we're praying for healing for this blood pressure," but now he's leaving and he's feeling worse. The devil told him that he wasn't going to get his healing, but every time the devil bothered him, he would say, "It is written," and he would quote the word. He kept confessing, "Two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by the Father." He said after he stood his ground like that, for 3 nights, all the symptoms left, and he won the victory. You see that? You see that? Fight the good fight of faith. It takes a little time sometimes to build the word into your spirit so you can stand in faith for an answer to your prayer. Now, let me stop and say something. We're talking here about 7 steps to answered prayer. Every believer must engage these steps. We tend to pray unconsciously. We're not aware of what we're doing. We don't even really think of steps to prayer. But we're breaking it down here because there's a science. I don't even like to use the word science so much, but you know what I'm saying. There's a system. And yeah, there is a science, because the thing about science is, you know, what makes science science is science says, okay, they test something over and over again and prove it, right? And that's what makes it, you know, science, and it's been proven. And well, it's the same thing. We're not having blind faith. Too many Christians have blind faith, and that's why they don't see any results, because they lack understanding. But if you do and you follow what God is, if we follow what God is telling us to do, we've got to get a breakthrough. We've got to get the answer. It has to happen. But what happens is you jump around. You guard your mind today. You don't guard it tomorrow. You guard your, what you're saying today. You see. And so, but you got to be precise. We got to be precise, and we got to stick to it. Be precise and stick to it. You know, decide. What is this thing I'm praying about? What do I need from God? And find what you need. So make sure it's in the Word. Now listen to this. This is for you as an individual. These seven steps to answer prayer here is for you. This is not for you praying for somebody else. For example, your child. This ain't you making, well, what do I want from God? I want my daughter to, you know, whatever. I can't even think. There's so many things, right? I want my daughter to go back to school. I want my daughter to stop, you know, hanging out with that guy. This is not that prayer. And so now you start working. You can't make somebody do something. That's a different prayer. Do you understand? When we're talking about, for example, your children, we know the seed of the righteous shall be delivered, right? But you still can't pray, oh, you know, I want to pray that my child will become a scientist or become a doctor or a lawyer. No. I want to pray that my husband will, no. I want to pray that guy will be my husband. No. But you can't find scripture to back that up. I want to pray that particular woman will be my wife. You can't find scripture to back that up. You're praying for a wife. A godly wife, yeah, you can find scripture to back that up. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. You understand? There's several scriptures you can find to back that up. But you can't find a scripture for John Brown to be your husband. Or for John Brown's wife to become your wife. You know, he shared a testimony like that. So amazing. You hear so many things in ministry. And Hagin was sharing how he and a, you know, he was had been preaching, doing, you know, evangelistic services at a church for a couple of weeks. And one evening, Saturday evening, you know, he and the pastor just relaxing and chatting in the study. And a knock came on the door. And so, you know, they answered the door. And a gentleman stepped in. And he said he recognized the gentleman, because he had seen him in the services, you know, for the last couple of weeks. The gentleman was not a member of this particular church, but he was a member of another church and, you know, was saved, full, believing in God, blah, blah, blah. And the man came, you know, for a prayer. And so Higgins, you know, got up to leave because he figured maybe he wanted to talk to the pastor personally. And so he said, no, Brother Hagin, don't leave. I have a prayer request, and I want you gentlemen to pray for me. And what was the prayer? He's married, but he wanted them, but coming to the church, he spotted a woman who was the wife of somebody else. But he wanted them to pray with him that God would give him her for his wife. Isn't that deep? Now, we're not talking about somebody coming off the street. We're talking about somebody saved, sanctified, I believe, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. You see how you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? So he wants that prayer. That's not going to work there. Why? You can't find scripture to back that up. Hagin said he just left the room and said, okay, Pastor, you handle this because I can't even deal with this one. You can't find scripture to back it up. So you've got to make sure that what you are praying about, there is scripture to back it up. That is critical. You can't find it in the Word, it's not going to happen. You can't have it. And if it does happen, it's not going to stay because there's no Word. It's not on a foundation that's sound. The devil will give you things too now. Got it? All right, let's press on. All right, let me take it from here. It takes a little time sometimes to build the Word into your spirit so you can stand in faith for an answer to prayer. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. If there weren't any hindrances to faith, there wouldn't be a fight. When it comes to the natural things, people will fight tooth and toenail for what belongs to them. But when it comes to spiritual things, many times they just roll over and play dead. For instance, if someone came to your house and claimed your children and your home, you'd fight him for your family, for what belongs to you. Or what if your husband came home and said he had found another woman and he wanted to bring her into your house and move you out? You would sure put up a fight, wouldn't you? Well, if God's word says something belongs to you, then it belongs to you. So put up a fight by standing your ground on God's word. If God didn't intend for you to have what he promised, then he wouldn't have promised it to you. It's up to you, however. It's up to you to fight the good fight of faith with the word and receive your promised blessing and all that God has promised you. To natural things, people will stand up for what belongs to them. But when it comes to spiritual things and receiving healing or the blessing and benefits of God that belongs to us, many believers don't stand their ground with the word of God. Some think they are being humble by saying, well, the will of God be done, when really it is the will of Satan that's being done. You see, there is a good fight of faith that the believer must fight in order to appropriate and receive his promised blessing, his rightful inheritance in Christ. In order to fight the good fight of faith, you must learn how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Fighting the good fight of faith is speaking the word out of your mouth that you believe in your heart or your spirit. That's why it's important to hide the word of God in your heart and be ready to use scriptures against demons when they try to attack you and try to make you doubt God's word. Be ready to say to Satan, it is written, and to quote God's word, which is God's will about the situation. Right? So going back to, let's say, your children, you know, that's a sensitive issue. There are ways to pray for your children, and we talked about that. But what I'm saying is that, and I want to go back at that point, you can't pray to make somebody be, you know, who you want them to be. You've got to pray according to God's word, especially when they're adult now. You understand? And so you can't pray to manipulate, because if we could just manipulate people by our prayer, then people could manipulate us. You understand what I'm saying? So it's very important that we understand that. Praying for your children to do well, you're praying for your child's well-being, you're praying for them to, you know God in a deeper way. Lord, let your perfect will be done in their lives. You have plans for them. That's Jeremiah 29:11. And Lord, you have plans for them. Lord, pour out your spirit upon my child. Lord, you understand? But you can't pray, Lord, let them do this, pick this career, or let them pick that job, or let them, because that's to try to manipulate them. Try to manipulate. You have to be very careful about that. There will be many who will side in with the devil and believe his lies over God's word. And there are also folks who in the natural will unconsciously side in with the devil to try to discourage you in spiritual things in your faith. But stand your ground on God's word if the enemy attacks you in spirit, soul, or body. I was holding some services in Texas once when there was an outbreak of influenza. So many people were ill that the schools had to close down. Later, I read in the paper that more people in Dallas County had died from this epidemic in 1960 than in the dangerous influenza epidemic that broke out in the year following World War I. This influenza epidemic in Texas affected our meetings terribly. Some people became ill and never did get back into the meetings. The symptoms of this particular type of influenza were extremely severe. Every one of those symptoms came upon my body in the nighttime, but I never told a single person. I just kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. And I stood my ground in faith on the word. I refused to accept influenza because it wasn't God's will. I was in a revival meeting and sinners were being saved. It wasn't God's will to close that meeting down. People sometimes have the silliest ideas about these things. They say, for example, that it is the will of God for people to be sick. But that contradicts the word. The same thing with poverty. People think, oh, it's the will of God. You know, that's the devil is a liar. If it were true that sickness is the will of God, why have many churches built hospitals to try to get people, I'm sorry, if it were true that sickness is the will of God, why have many churches built hospitals to try to get people well? That would get people out of the will of God. Doctors are fighting sickness and disease too, but they're fighting with different weapons. If it were God's will for people to be sick, then it would not be God's will for people to go to doctors, because doctors are fighting sickness and disease too. Also, if it is the will of God for people to be sick, then why not pray for others to become sick so they can enjoy the same kind of blessing of sickness and disease and be in God's will? You see the foolishness of it? You guys see that? After I prayed and said, "It is written," and stood on God's word against these influenza symptoms that tried to attack my body, I got better and continued on with my services. And I never did get influenza. When you have the foundation of God's word under you, you can stand your ground against Satan's attack. Now, that was just step one. That's step one. Decide what you want from God and find the scripture or scriptures that definitely promise you this thing. And so we're digging into it. You know, I could just run you down the steps, but no, you should have the book, Bible Prayer Study Course by Kenneth E. Hagin. Go into it. Go in depth. Line it up. Take that prayer out, whatever that prayer is, and line it up and make up your mind to go by these steps. Make up your mind to follow these steps. Step one, decide what you want from God. Ask God for what you want. Be positive in your thinking. Step three. 4, guard your mind. 5, meditate on God's promises and prepare. 6, continually thank God for the answer. 7, make every prayer a statement of, let's see how much of step 2 we can get to here. All right, let's see if we can pull through this. Step number 2, you must ask God for what you want. We talked about the first step to receiving answered prayer. Step 1 is to decide what you want from God and find scriptures that promise you the things you desire. Now, step 2. To receiving answered prayer is ask God for the things you want and believe that you receive them. Certainly the Lord knows what we need even before we ask, but he still says for us to ask him. The Bible says, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things," Matthew 6:32. But he also tells you to ask for what you need. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:24. I love that. You see that? That your joy may be full. God wants you to be joyful. He wants you joyful. So that prayer request, that desire of your heart, God wants that fulfilled for you. But you remember now, we're in partnership with God. That's why we're going over these steps. Because too often we pray a prayer, and then we just sort of wait around for it to happen. And we're not looking at these 7 steps to see, am I in line with these steps? Am I guarding my mind? Am I being positive in my thinking all the time about this? Look, you don't wait for going along thinking it'll happen. Am I preparing for it at all? Have I done anything in preparation for it? Or am I just kind of waiting for it to drop in my lap? That's why we're taking the time. To say that you're leaving it up to God and that you know he will automatically do whatever is best is unscriptural. You hear that? Jesus himself said we are to ask God for what we need. And that's John 16:23-24. Matthew 7, look at 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Mark 11:23-24. For verily I say unto you, that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So ask God for the things you want and need, and then believe that you have them. In other words, when you pray, believe you receive what you've asked for. I love a challenge, he says. And Mark 11:24 challenges me. It says, in effect, believe you receive right then when you pray. The Amplified says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. You've got to believe you've got your answer before you get it. Let's look at this. Sense, knowledge, truth versus revelation truth. In one of my prayer lines once, a woman said that she wasn't going to believe she had something her physical senses told her she didn't have. I told her just go sit down because then I told her to just go sit down then because according to the scriptures, she would never get anything from God believing the way she did. Believe God and not Satan. Satan will tell you that you don't have the answer to your prayer. Satan operates in the sense realm. Satan is operating as the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. You'll never get anywhere spiritually until you realize that there are two kinds of truth. Hear this now. There are two kinds of truth. Sense knowledge truth and revelation truth is the truth of God's word. Sense knowledge truth, right? That means we're living by the physical senses. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you, that's what you're running by. That's what you're believing in. Revelation truth is based on the word. Spiritual things are not natural, and they are not material. Everything we need is provided for us in the spiritual realm by God's word. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. This scripture means that everything we need has been provided for us in Christ Jesus. You can't see those things, but they are there because God's word said they are there. There is sense knowledge truth and there is revelation truth. When sense knowledge truth contradicts revelation truth, the truth of God's word, then I start walking by revelation truth. I walk by what God has said in his word, that which is in the spiritual realm is made real in the natural realm through my faith in the word of God. You see, it's our faith that brings it into manifestation. Remember, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, faith, Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me go back to the reading. My faith grasps it and creates the reality of it in my life. Romans 4:17. So when you pray, believe that you receive whatever it is you are praying for, and you shall have it. Now, that's beyond natural thinking. In fact, the natural mind can't grasp it. The majority of the leaders of our churches today, he says, are sense knowledge people. Sense knowledge has taken the church captive. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, believe the truth and not a lie. Once I was preaching at a certain church which met in a small building. The weather outside was cold, so they were using stoves to heat the building. Sometimes the inside of the building grew very hot, and I would get too warm when I preached. One night, I was perspiring. As I stepped out of that small building to get some air, when I stepped outside, the cold air hit me in the face, and my throat started hurting. By the time I got to the parking lot, I could hardly talk. The next day, all day long, I couldn't talk above a whisper. Started hurting. I started reading scriptures on healing. With my Bible open before me, I prayed silently. I said, Lord, your word tells me that I am healed. If I asked my flesh or other people around me if I was healed, the answer would be no. If I asked my feelings if I was healed, they would say I wasn't healed. But your word said, let God be true, but every man a liar. Romans 3:4. So if I say I'm not healed, I'm a liar because your word says that you cannot lie. I told the Lord that I was going to get up and go over to the church and preach. So I went next door where the church was and went into the service. When I got up to preach, I went up to the microphone and said, I want to thank God that I am healed. The congregation looked at me like I was crazy because I was just barely whispering. I began to tell them what the word of God says about healing. And I proved to them from the word that I was healed. I told them that God says, that what God says is true, and that if I said I wasn't healed, I would be lying. I told them I wanted them all to stand and praise God with me because I was healed. Some stood, and we began praising God. I hadn't said hallelujah 3 times when my voice came back. I started preaching, and I preached up a storm. That crowd saw what God did. They saw faith in God's work right in front of their eyes. All you have to do is ask God for the things you need and want that his word has promised and believe you receive them when you ask for them. Then you will have whatever it is you need from God. Some people continually ask me why God won't heal them after they have had many people pray for them and have had no results. Very often I ask them if they have ever acted as though the word is so. People must act like the scriptures are true. If they don't act like the word is true, they are walking by what their senses are telling them and not by what the Bible says. That's what is throwing them off. They're misrealm entirely, which is based on what the word says, not on what they see or feel. Now, that's step two. That's as far as I can go today. You got it? You got the book. You don't got the book, get the book. Bible prayer study course. We're going to dig into this some more next week. We'll pick up with step three. But on this particular step two, I want to let me say something here that he didn't mention yet. But and I think I mentioned it to you last week. I want you to understand how this Mark 11, 23, 24 works. When you pray, believe that you receive. You're believing you receive it then. You know, when you guys, some of you might have been here when this thing came in my throat, right, a couple weeks ago, or was it last week or whatever. Now, the way I'm feeling and sounding, it's like, okay, I can't do the call. But my mind don't work that way. My mind don't work that way, you see? So I just stood on what, because I know that anything that tries to attack me doesn't belong to me. So I'm not going to give in to it. You know, it's so easy to give in and say, oh, well, I don't get nothing. I'm coughing. I ain't got nothing. Oh, you sound like you have a cold. Nope, I ain't got no cold. Boldly. Because why? You put it in you. You got the word so in you that you can't even lie down with it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, I'm doing all the things that I want to do on the natural realm, drinking my tea, taking it. But I'm not accommodating it. And am I speaking today? I started speaking that same week. But if I had bought into it, oh, I can't talk. Oh, I can't. You start buying into these things. Oh, I feel this. Oh, I'm not feeling that. And you start talking about what you're feeling, and what happens is it magnifies it. Remember I shared with you last week about the preacher who had diabetes, right? And he finally got the revelation of what he was teaching here in this Mark 11, 23, 24, particularly 24. And so he started saying, he said he would get up in the morning, you know, when he gets up to do his normal praying, 5:30 to 6:30, but he would spend a lot of time now just saying, I believe I receive my healing for sugar diabetes. I believe I receive my healing for the sugar diabetes. He just kept on saying that. And he said, when the devil came to him and said, they take the insulin and they had tests. You could look and see if, you know, how your sugar is that day and blah, blah, blah. And so he said, you know, it wasn't looking like it was changing. So of course the enemy comes to your mind and tell you, you ain't got it. You see, that's why you can't live in the sense realm, because it's not looking like you got it. You're looking at your bank book. It don't look like you got it. You're a tither. You're giving. But it's not looking. You've got to begin to declare, I live under an open heaven. You've got to pull out the scriptures on prosperity and begin to declare and begin to thank God. You can't be living looking at what you got. And so the devil told him, you ain't got it. You don't have it. He said, no, I'm not supposed to believe that I have it. Catch this morning. Hear what I'm saying. He said to the devil, I'm not supposed to believe that I have it. I'm supposed to believe that I receive it. God, Jesus will see that I have it. You see, here's what we got to understand. If you have it, you'll know you wouldn't be praying for it because you have it. That's why we got to catch a revelation of, I believe I receive. I believe I receive. So he kept on. I believe I receive my healing for the sugar diet. I believe I receive. And sure enough, it happened. Because what he was doing was driving that word into his consciousness. You see, a lot of times what happens is, for so long we've told ourselves, whether consciously or unconsciously, negative things. I can't, I don't, I'm broke, I'm fat. You've seen yourself fat for so long. You've seen yourself overweight. Now, thank God for four figures. You understand where I'm coming from. But if it's not healthy for you, if you're being challenged in your health by it, you know, you've seen it so. So what happens is people see themselves that way for so long. You've got to believe you receive. And you've got to begin to celebrate it even before it's manifested. And it's by the believing you receive it, as that goes into your consciousness, that's what brings about the prosperity. That's what brings about the healing. You understand what I'm saying? That's what brings about the transformation. It's the believing. You can't act like it. You know, there comes a point where you have to make a decision. Do I want sympathy or victory? You've heard me say that before. You've got to make a decision. Do I want sympathy or victory? If you want sympathy, which we all feel like, you know, the flesh wants to make you sorry, right? So you keep talking about it, and that's what you hear people claiming it. You know, my eyes are bad. You know, I can't see anymore at night. You know, my knees are bad. You know, my arthritis. They've claimed it. They're owning it. They're in bed with it. They're in relationship with it. It can't go. They're just hoping for healing, but they've already married themselves to the disease. Meanwhile, the Bible tells you in Matthew 8:17, he took it. But how do we get that in us? By meditating the word on that particular thing and beginning to declare that Mark 11:24, I believe I receive. I believe I receive healing for the. Don't say my, you know, don't my arthritis or my this. Or no, don't own it. I receive healing for the. And you keep on with that, feeding on the word, because it's got to change. Let me tell you something. By the time he wrote this, these seven steps, he had proved this thing for 50 years. He had proved it for 50 years. What's my excuse? He had proved these steps for 50 years. 50 years of teaching faith. Follow these steps. Don't take them out of sequence. Make sure you got them. Make sure you're paying attention to them. So my offering to you this morning is pick up that prayer request. Pick it up again. That one that's been challenging you, that one that you've given up on, that one that you're feeling, pick it up. Pick it up again. And go at it now with these seven steps. Now, one other thing I want to say before I go. You hear a lot of times these giants will say, and in 3 days it happened, and in 3 nights, you know, and that can get you a little discouraged, right? Because they're like, oh, in 3, and then you might be working with the thing for a year. You've been working on the thing. Now, you might have most of the times been working incorrectly, but you know, but here's the thing. These giants have been feeding on the word for years. You see, it goes back to that John 15, verse 7. Remember we started with that John 15, verse 7? If you abide in me, that's salvation. You've accepted Christ. You abide in him now. You're part of the kingdom. You're part of you're one of his children. And my words abide in you. You see? You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Remember the Bible says, according to your faith, be it done unto you. So that's why we're meditating on the word day and night, to build up our faith. So don't worry about it hasn't happened yet. Get your mind off of time. We got to get our minds off of time at this point. Get your mind off of when. Don't worry about it. It's never too late to be rich. Talking to my mom's friend. Oh, is she? Man, I don't know if she's on the line. Winter's 80-something. And I said to her, is it ever too late to be rich? She said, it's never too late. You know what I'm saying? It's never too late to be rich. It's never too late to be wise. It's never too late to be in love. It's never too late to be loved. It's never too late to be healthy. It's never too late. You see what I'm saying? So don't be giving up on nothing. Just lay up, get yourself. You start doing the work. You start doing the work. Start meditating on the word day and night. Day and night. Look at the seven steps. Pick up the book or go back in the book and take that prayer request out and go back at it. You got me? All right, I got to go now. If there's anyone under the sound of my voice, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do so now. Because if you're not saved, you're not saved, and you don't have access to any of what I've been teaching this morning. If you're under the sound of my voice and perhaps you knew Jesus Christ, you know, but the road is long. Sometimes you get discouraged. You know, you don't have understanding. You mean well, but, you know, you just kind of let it go. Jesus loves you. He understands all that. He loves you, he died for you, and he's calling you to come back home. So both groups, pray this prayer with me now. Dear Lord, I come to you today. You know my life. You know how I have lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sins. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, my physician and healer, my provider, who died for my sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and live your life in me and through me. From this day forward, I belong to you. Bow your heads now as I pray with you. Father God, no man comes unless you draw them. So we thank you this morning for those that you have drawn to yourself.
We ask, oh God, that the word that they have heard, let it go deep into their hearts and minds and bring forth a mighty harvest in their lives. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father God, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, all of us who've heard this word today, Lord, let it go deep into our hearts and minds. Father God, let it ignite faith within us. Let it ignite our faith. And Father God, let every wherever there is discouragement, Lord, let them be encouraged today. Wherever there is weakness, let there be strength. Father God, in the name of Jesus, give each one under the sound of my voice, whether they're here now or they return later, Father God, give each one under the sound of my voice, you know, a fire in their belly, a new fire in their belly, a new fire in their belly for the word, a new excitement of the possibilities that they have in you, Lord, for everything that you've died for. Open their eyes, God. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened today. And Lord God, strengthen each one with might by your spirit in their inner man, strength to stay the course, strength to stay, keep their foot on the gas, strength to never give up. And to you, Lord, we give all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Before I bless you, let's pass the offering plate. Then I'm going to return with the blessing. One moment.
If this ministry is a blessing to you, become our partner. Visit HazelGoodmanMinistries.com and sow your love offering. You will be richly blessed. Jesus is Lord.
As you go, know that God's Holy Spirit is going before you, making safe, joyful, and successful your way. As you go, in the name of Jesus, I pronounce blessings upon your life. I pronounce blessings upon your business. You know, but the blessing means empower to succeed. Come on. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Toiling does not increase. I decree and I declare your business blessed today. I decree and I declare your career blessed. I decree and I declare your children blessed today. In the name of Jesus, that child that's giving you problems, that child that's on your mind, the Bible said the seed of the righteous shall be delivered because of your righteousness. Listen, begin to give God thanks and praise. That child is delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. That child is someone great. That child shall be mighty upon the earth. Come on, in the mighty name of Jesus. Your generations are blessed. Even your generations yet unborn, they are blessed in the name of Jesus. I decree and I declare, whatever that secret desire is, whatever that prayer is, that prayer that you're looking to pull back out, in the mighty name of Jesus, I decree God's blessing upon that prayer. And in the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare that you will give a testimony about that prayer request. You will give a testimony about that prayer request. You will give a testimony about that prayer request. All things are working together for your good. Let me tell you something. Whoever gathers against you will fall for your sake. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue rising in judgment, you shall condemn. The Lord God is with you as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, your persecutors shall stumble. They shall not prevail. Your hands are prosperous hands. Your hands are prosperous. Everything you do shall prosper. Everything you do shall be a success. Divine ideas are coming to you. Divine ideas are coming to you. And the healing power of God is flowing through you now. Come on. As a child of God, the healing power of God is flowing through you now. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Every cell, every tissue, every organ of your being is pulsing with life, pulsing with wholeness, pulsing with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I decree and I declare in the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed. Be prosperous. Be wise. Be successful. Be all that God has created you to be, for he has created you for greatness. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. I love you. God bless you. Do the work. Do the work. You hear what I'm saying? Do the work. Get in that book. Go back over these 7 steps. Write them down. Make it clear. Put your prayer with that. If it's more than one prayer, it's all right. Do your homework. Settle down. You know when people get ready to do something big. You know like when athletes are doing something, they don't eat like everybody else. They don't think like everybody else. They can't hang out like everybody else. Not when you're going up to the Olympics. Not when you got to win the NBA. Not when you got a championship. That's how you got to take this thing. You got to take it by force. The Bible says that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but the violence taking it by force. You
got to take what God has died for by force. It's not going to just fall on you. It's there. He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings, but it's in the spirit realm. Your marriage is in the spirit realm. Your health is in the spirit realm. Your children are in the spirit realm. The ones you know, every good thing that you desire in your prosperity is there. It's there. It's there. God doesn't want you poor. You're poor, you can't help nobody. The poor, you can't help yourself. You can't help nobody. You understand? God doesn't want you poor. He doesn't want you broke. He doesn't want you sick. That's not a testimony to the glory of God. He's your Father. You've come into the kingdom, but we got to do the work. Do the work. I've already prayed it, man. You got the grace. You got the grace. Make time. Settle down. And walk these steps and come back with your testimony. I love you. God bless you. I'll be with you next week. Bye-bye now.
I'm born to win. I'm born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to reign in life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say,
born to win.
Born to reign, say.
Born to reign in life.
I am no ordinary
person.
Whoa,
I'm dancing for
sing it like you believe it.
Born to win.
Born to reign.
Born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm dancing for greatness.
Circumstances may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me, but when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters stand to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, 'cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary
person.
No, no. Sing it like you mean to say.
Born to win.
Ooh, na, 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 wo, yo.
Born to win.